My name is Don Heider, and I am a professor of biology at San Juan College in Farmington, New Mexico. I have a background in entomology and botany, and I am also part of our horticulture program that we have at San Juan College. It's a cooperative effort with New Mexico State University and Dr. Kevin Lombard over here. He and I collaborate on this program, and we have a captive audience of undergraduate students who are really good at wanting to do research but not knowing if that's something that they'd really like to do. So anyway, I just thought I'd like to start this out by saying that this project with the goji berries started back a number of years ago, and it's been supported over a period of years by various grants that allow us to do the undergraduate research. And so anyway, you can see that there's Bridges Grant and NIH Bridges, National Science Foundation STEP Grant, and now then we're currently working with an Embry Grant with New Mexico State University. So anyway, well, we have a challenge here. We have a species of plant that belongs to a genus that has about 70-some-odd species worldwide. It's the genus Lycium. In New Mexico, we call it wolf berry. In China, it's called goji berry. And the true goji berry is a plant called Lycium chinensis. And in New Mexico, we have other species. And they have all been used, for the most part, have been used traditionally by native peoples in various parts of the world. So anyway, in China, it's traditional medicine. Interestingly enough, U.S. consumers are becoming very interested in being able to buy and purchase goji berries. And many of them are grown. Many of our species that we find in New Mexico are grown at very similar latitudes to what they find in China. So anyway, the idea is that why would you want to import something from China whenever you have species that are growing in your state that are probably just as valuable as what the Chinese ones would be? So anyway, the plants. In New Mexico, we have about 70 species in throughout the world, and so the players are the Lycium species, and they are recognized as having high content of Lycium and rutin, a couple of flavonoids. Here are our species that we have: Lycium chinensis and Lycium barbarum are imported from China. The primary one that we were interested in was Lycium chinensis. Interestingly enough, Lycium barbarum came by way of China to Europe, to the United States back in the 1800s, and it is grown in people's gardens throughout New Mexico and Utah. You find it in Missouri, and it was associated a lot of times with the Mormon people as they moved west from Missouri. And they call it matrimony vine, and they would mix up a drink of this right about the time that a couple would get ready to go on their honeymoon. And I think that it was probably because it has bacterial, cidal, and also fungicidal properties. And so, you know, what a perfect time to give that to someone is right before they go on their honeymoon. So, but anyway, in New Mexico, the primary one that we have up in the San Juan County area is Lycium pallidum, subspecies pallidum. And that one, it seems to be very, very closely associated with archaeological sites in the northwestern part of New Mexico, which I don't think that you can go anywhere and find an archaeological site without finding Lycium having been planted there also. We have one very interesting one, Lycium pallidum subspecies oligosperma, which the closest population is in Nevada, and we have a small population at Aztec Ruins right close to Farmington, New Mexico. Lycium torrii is associated with the River Grande River drainage, and Lycium berlanderi is a really odd species. It's found down in southern New Mexico, and one population near Deming, New Mexico. The person that had it in his yard, it was actually a desert type of yard, but he said that it had been dormant for 3 years because they hadn't had any rain. And so I think that's really interesting. So here's a picture showing Lycium pallidum, variety pallidum. And one of the things to note about it is that it has a very greenish colored flower. And it's a fairly large flower. And also the fruit on it is nice and round. It's not exceptionally large, but it is very obviously round. Lycium torii, which, like I said, grows more in the river drainage areas and along the Rio Grande, has a smaller purple flower, and the fruit is much smaller, and it tends to be, in a lot of cases, a little bit more oblong instead of roundish. Lycium barbarum and chinensis look very similar to Lycium torii, which I find very interesting. Purple bloom, similar type of fruit. So I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Lombard to discuss our two biologically active components that we have. So,
as Dr. Heider said, this is a much of a undergraduate research teaching kind of thing that we do during the summers. We get our undergraduates, these are two-year associates of applied sciences, students involved in this type of research. And so when we approached one another on this project, my main interest in human health and these secondary plant metabolites, predominantly quercetin, goes back to the fact that this molecule, you know, it shows a lot of antioxidant potential, anti-cancer potential. It's been shown to kind of reduce or delay the onset of a lot of different diseases like cardiovascular disease and diabetes. It, as Dr. Heider mentioned, it has antifungal and antibacterial properties. And predominant reason for this molecule and these secondary plant metabolites and why they're so interesting is these hydroxy groups that are on these benzene rings that are they can donate basically a high hydrogen off of the molecule and basically neutralize antioxidants, which are responsible for all these kind of wicked diseases of lifestyle, one could say. And so we were just wanting to quantify this and to see what are the levels of some of these secondary plant metabolites in the Chinese goji berries, which are very popular as a medicinal and or snack food, and look at them and how they compared to the analogs that were located in the state of New Mexico.
To the right. Got it. In 2010, we initiated several investigations. One of them was to look at the ability to be able to propagate, especially our native Lycium pallidum. We also looked at the type of soils that the Lycium pallidum was growing in. And then turned to looking at the chemical properties of both of those. And so anyway, this has spread over from 2010 to 2016. I think one of the biggest drawbacks is that we do our research primarily in the summertime with a very small number of students, and you may have 30 students that show an interest in doing research, and there may be one or maybe not any that would like to do something like this. And so it's extended over a long period of time. So with the stem cuttings, we set this up in the greenhouse as a completely randomized design. We had a number of different propagation soils that we used with this, and we had a controlled light and watering situation with this. And we treated some of the stem cuttings with endobutyric acid and some of them with gibberellic acid to stimulate rooting of these. And interestingly enough, these plants really didn't fare well at all. It was the stem cuttings initially produced leaves. I think that they used up all of their food that was in the stem, and callus tissue was not produced, and they died. And I think that were we actually should redo this and look at it again is the fact that we took the cuttings in May instead of February. And I think that that would have been where we had would have seen a lot better results, is just timing with this. The plants had already leafed out, so on and so forth. We had a similar conclusion with the callus tissue, I mean with the with the layering that we were doing. And
can I say something about that?
Yes.
So this is this lyceum is related to tomatoes and chili peppers, and so it's a in the it's a Solanum species, and so we tried layering, which we thought we could do because it's, it sends out these sort of runners, sort of like blackberries and raspberries, and so that was where we decided let's try to do some layering.
So just an interesting side note, a neighbor by my house has lyceum on his hillside, and it was extending down into my yard, and I was really pleased with this. And then he decided that he was going to use a herbicide on his plants, and of course mine went away also. So anyway, so we hadn't had much luck with our propagation, our asexual propagation techniques. The Native American people used seeds. They would carry around the seed pods from selected plants, and they would plant those wherever that they went to. So with our soil analysis, we concentrated for the most part on the Lyceum pallidum populations in San Juan County. We used a 3-inch by 8, what we had a 3-inch by 8-inch auger, and we collected soil samples up actually fairly close to the drip line of the plants is where we were collecting the soil samples. This is showing the area that we collected in. There's Farmington, New Mexico. I hope that this shows up. Here's Farmington. Aztec is over here, and we kind of concentrated on this area. Out here is where the Ag Science Center is. The NMSU Ag Science Center is in this area here. And so those were the areas that we concentrated on. These are some of the results that we got. This is not a complete look at the results. The texture ranged from sandy clay loam to sandy loam to sand, and so they grow in quite a variety of soil types. With that, interestingly enough, the sodium absorption ratio ranged from about 0.07 up to 4.83, which is a little interesting also, so they can grow in a wide range with SAR. Organic matter ranged from 0.4 up to 1.20. So they can tolerate typical soils that we found in the San Juan River Basin. So the flavonoid studies. This extraction procedure was based upon on the literature, and we extracted in 60% methanol, and then we used spectrophotometer to actually calculate to record concentrations. So we collected over the state of New Mexico, from all the way from Farmington all the way down to Las Cruces and Deming. And in 2012, these were the results that we got. Lyceum chinensis, Lyceum barbarum, Lyceum torii, Lyceum berlanderi, which was that really odd one. And so this is just showing the rutin and quercetin contents that we had. And the Lyceum chinensis and the Lyceum barbarum were actually comparable to what we were finding in our New Mexico native species. We saw the same thing occurring in 2016. We repeated some of our same sites and looked at that again. And once again with rutin also, very similar conclusions with this. This is showing the Lyceum chinensis, the barbarum, the pallidum, and the torii, and the rutin quercetin averages. Conclusion, concentration of flavonoids in native Lyceum pallidum were lower than concentrations in native Lyceum torii and cultivated Lyceum chinensis. Overall, Lyceum torii showed highest concentrations of both rutin and quercetin, and Lyceum torii seems to be an alternative to cultivation. And I really think that Lyceum torii would make the best candidate because it seems to respond a little bit well in more irrigated type of situations. You find it in around streams, and you find it irrigation ditches, so on and so forth. And so I think it'd be well worthwhile looking at it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.